Vayomru, Hava nibne lanu ir. They said, let's come and build a city. Umigdal, tower. Barosho b'shamayim, top of the tower, will be all the way up in the highest skies. We'll go up to heaven. V'naseh lanu shame. Let's make a name for ourselves. Pen nafutzal p'nei kol ha'aretz, lest we be scattered throughout the land. And we know this was considered to be a terrible sin. They were punished for this. This is the Dor HaPlaga. But what was the sin exactly of the Dor HaPlaga? Why were they punished through what they feared? Dispersal within the entire universe. So Rashi explains, Ain't shame, Amor Khan. Says that they wanted to make a name for themselves. That name, El Avodas Kochavim, stands for idolatry. Shenamar v'shem Elohim Achirim lo saskiru. We can understand this Rashi based on the backdrop of the Gemara in Sota, Daf Dalet Amud Beis. It says, Kol sheyesh bo gasus ruach ilu oved avodas kochavim. Their sin was driven by their arrogance and their self-absorption. And this is underscored by the Kli Yoker in his parish. He explains, V'naseh lanu shem. They wanted to make a big name for themselves. The purpose of this giant tower that would go up to the skies, that would reach up to the heavens, was listarer achavero v'lios gavoa mimenu. Each person wanted to be the greatest, to build higher and go higher than the next one in order to be more famous and more great, more high up. Had they all remained in one place, the result, says the Kli Yoker, would have been chaos. Since they all wanted to make a big name for themselves, every single person would want to be the leader, the mayor, the head honcho in the city, Kedei sheyetzei shemo b'chol ha'olam, so the name, their name would go out into the entire world. And because this would be everybody's desire, Yisrabu b'neim divrei rivos, they would have lots of quarrels, controversies, fights. It would be the destruction of the universe. Therefore, the Kli Yoker explains, they needed to be dispersed in order to be rescued from each other's clutches. For this reason, the plans of the tower had to be terminated. The building that they intended to foster and bring about world harmony would actually bring about the reverse, because it was for the purpose of lasos lohem shame. My friends, we believe that there are no coincidences in this world, that everything is under the providence of Hashkach Elyona. Therefore, we cannot ignore the significance of an event that took place earlier this week. This week of Parshas Noah, in a contemporary bikkur in the deserts of New Mexico here in the United States. A fellow whose name truthfully sounds like that of one of the YU board members, I don't think he's actually Jewish, a fellow by the name of Felix Baumgartner, I think he's an Austrian, he decided that he too wanted to climb the heavens, to ascend to the highest spot currently reachable on the Earth's atmosphere, which for those who are interested is apparently approximately 128,000 feet, or about 24 miles above the ground. Apparently the actual edge of space is defined as around 64 miles above the ground, but this is high enough for me. So he manufactured a hot air balloon for the occasion, and amidst great cheers, including, incredibly enough, his mother, basking with pride and happiness as her Meshuggah son went up in the sky, which I think is the definitive proof that he can't be Jewish. He flies up in his hot air balloon to what they call the ceiling of the earth, Barosho b'shamayim. Once he gets up there, he does the natural and logical thing. He jumps. And if you don't believe me, you can see the YouTube videos capturing his free fall, twisting and turning in his spacesuit as he apparently reached speeds of over 800 miles per hour, possibly breaking the sound barrier. until he finally pulled his parachute at approximately 500 miles, he has to be above the ground, and then landed, 5,000 feet above the ground, and then landed on the New Mexico desert as casually as a girl playing hopscotch on a playground. What a scene it was. Everybody was cheering, everyone in his family and in the control room were all screaming with joy and hugging each other. It was, in truth, about as non-Jewish a scene as a NASCAR race. But we can't ignore this juxtaposition, the timing of this event in the midst of Shabbos Parshas Noach. It has to mean something. Not just the breaking of various world records, including the highest free fall ever. So I think that the meaning of the event could be captured in the words of Fearless Felix himself. "When I was standing there on top of the world," he said, "you become so humble. You do not think about breaking records anymore. You do not think about gaining scientific data." And he encapsulated the sentiment even more succinctly when he said, and this is the statement that truly captures the message of this event for us, "Sometimes we have to get really high to see how small we are." And Felix wasn't talking about LSD. Yes, sometimes we have to get really high to see how small we are. The inhabitants of Eretz Shinar wanted to get really high so they could be really high. Each one, in fact, intending to be the highest, to make a great name for himself, and not sit on shame. The problem wasn't in going really high. The problem was going with what they ultimately wanted to accomplish once they got there. You can go really high in this world if the purpose is to see how small we are, if it will teach you humility. That is not Migdol Babel. That is the antidote. This is what we can learn from Felix Baumgartner and his 4-minute free fall from the edge of space. Just, if possible, please just take my word for it. Do not, and I repeat, do not try this particular stunt in your own backyard. At least not if you care about your Jewish mother. And this is the message recorded in the Gemara in Erevin and Daf Mendal and Aleph. Once Torah is given to you as a gift, you inherit Hashem's bounty. Once you have that gift, you can rise up really high. But if you are arrogant about it, you can be lowered down to the depths of a valley. And if you then understand your lowliness, despite the heights that you previously achieved, when you fathom the depths of a free fall from the edge of space, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu magbia. You'll be raised once again from the low valley by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You will be able to transcend the heights of the universe and achieve greatness through humility. Rabosai, we often hear the expression, the sky is the limit. Now we know that limit extends upwards for at least 24 miles. But the Chiddush is that you can fall from the sky, even at unimaginable speeds, and still survive and thrive if you can only appreciate how small you are. If we appreciate our smallness in the world, then we will be ready to grow, ready to face life's challenges, and ready to bounce back from setbacks and learn lessons for the future. Almost paradoxically, our appreciation of our smallness actually prepares us for greater achievements in life. If you realize how small you are, you take advantage of the wisdom of the ages, of those who are older and wiser, of your Rebbeim, of your Mashkichim, you are Lomein Mikol Adam, from your friends, your Chavrusos. You also recognize that there is no need to be so overwhelmed by life's challenges, because you are not so lofty to be so easily rattled by the fear of failing or by the fear of falling. And finally, you are not so protective of your status, that you are fearful of losing ground to others, as were the architects of those who wanted to build the tower that would extend up to Shemayim. With this awareness and appreciation, what had previously appeared to be insurmountable becomes achievable. You can keep your siddurim every day and not worry about your performance on your midterms, which lasts forever. You will do as well as you are meant to do. And your adherence and commitment to your Torah learning, to your siddurim, will undoubtedly earn you siyata dishmaya. You will have a sense of appreciation of other people and make sure to speak with friendship, derech eretz, and courtesy to all of the students within the yeshiva. You will understand, as our Mashiach Rav Miller pointed out earlier today, that when a Gilad Shalit comes to campus, the major goal is not to see him or hear him speak, but to enable him and his fellow soldiers to see us and hear us give him and them our love and chizik in order to lift their spirits. You will be able to soar to the greatest heights of personal accomplishment by developing and utilizing your unique strengths to contribute to the universe around us and to Klal Yisrael. We have just begun a new Zman at Yeshiva and a new month, Maheshvan, that is sometimes referred to as bitter. It's what the word mar means in its simple sense. And it's considered bitter because of the emptiness, of the lack of holidays, no Yom Tovim in Maheshvan. As I heard my colleague Rabbi Shippel point out this morning when he was speaking to his Mechina students, when I visited the Mechina Minyan for Shacharis, Mar can be turned around and transformed into the word Ram. It can be a time of Hisrovimus, a time of great elevation. Perhaps it all depends on one's attitude. An empty month is, after all, like an empty terrain, like a giant valley or desert in Eretz Shinar or in New Mexico. For those without the proper perspective who see in the empty vastness a wasteland for their personal vanity, it can indeed be mar, bitter. But for those who see in the vastness a reminder of their smallness, of our humility and responsibility, then this shall be a time of kol gelyin aseh, of ascending to greater heights through our avodas Hashem here at Yeshiva. May we all be successful at rising to this opportunity, and may you all have a wondrous man of productivity and personal growth. Good night and Hatzlacha Rabbah.